Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for August 5th. It's brought to you in part by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me in cyberspace, back in his place, is Jim Allen. What's happening, buddy?
I am back at the back of the bus.
Why does there have to be a bus involved?
Well, because in my place. I know. What is
it? Back of the bus, or get off my bus, or who's driving the bus? There's always...
I don't know what it is about being in buses. I think it's a traumatic childhood experience or something.
I know you went to school in the 70s. Well, maybe not.
I did. I was bused to school.
You bus, that's what it is. In California, we had this big busing issue in the 70s.
Well, I was a voluntary busee.
It doesn't matter how you ended up on the bus.
That's how it was going home. In the morning, it was pure white bread. And going home, it was the Rainbow Coalition.
Wow. Wow.
The good but not kind of like in a happy, interdependent, positive sense. It was sort of like, are you looking at me?
Well, let's get you out of the bus situation.
Okay.
You're in a limousine and
oh, nice. Okay.
Air conditioner on.
Well, here we are on the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast limousine, and I ain't saying who's driving.
We won't worry about it. And we don't worry about where we're going. But we've got to get started. We've got to get on the road here.
Okay.
So on this week's show, we've got an interview with Randy Messenger of the Hanshin Tigers. We're going to discuss Masahiro Tanaka and his fantastic streak, and we're going to hit some other topics and answer a couple of great listener questions. So the bases are juiced. Let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
Okay, the second half is underway, and you can catch all the Giants' home games as they make the stretch drive for the Central League pennant. If you live in the United States, go to oneworldsports.com and find out how to watch Giants live games at home. All right, so both of us, Jim and I, both went out to Tokyo Dome on Friday. It wasn't planned that much.
No.
I told him it was fun. And we ended up talking to Randy Messenger of the Hanshin Tigers. And Big Randy, he's such a great guy, man. I always liked talking to him. It was funny when we were walking away from the interview, he had a foul mouth moment in the interview, which, due to FCC rules, we blacked out. We edited it out. And he said, hey, man, most of his family was truckers.
I come from a family of truckers. I said, does your daughter know you talk like this? He says, I come from a family of truckers. Of course she knows I talk like this.
What a great guy, man. He's always...
It was fun. We had a... Randy's can be fairly laconic. And... basically, he talks when he's got something to say.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty much otherwise, it's yes, no, no, okay. Anyway, so we were, but I think you put a microphone in him and he really loosened up. He was really in good spirits this week. Cause Friday, before you came over to the Tigers side, I was talking with, we were discussing that, him and Matt Merton and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, And Randy says, I'm always saying, I said, Randy, when do you always say anything? You never talk. And Matt says, that's the same with me.
Right.
I said, Matt, that's an urban myth. You talk almost as much as I do, which is, of course, impossible.
Well,
laws of Jim Allen's talking.
Right. Well, Randy, every time I've spoken with him, I just needed to have questions prepared, and he's answered them all very, very candidly and very thoroughly, and this is what he did in the interview. Now,
big word there.
Yeah. Randy's already at 10 wins this year, and that means 3 of the 4 seasons he's been in Japan, he's got double digit victories, and he has only allowed 30 home runs all together combined in almost 450 innings, and he's got a career ERA here of 3.16.
Mm.
You know, he's an easygoing guy. He's doing well. He's one of the reasons that I feel like the Tigers are going to be able to compete in their postseason. I think they can still, and they won 2 out of 3 in the series that he's talking about in the interview, the
right.
Weekend series with the Giants. And again, they pitched well. And that's the key for me. They have to do their work on the mound and start there and then battle them at the plate. And they did enough of that in this series to win 2 out of 3 games. So,
well, they did enough of that, at least on the batting side, they did enough of that to win 3 of those games, but the pitching and defense let them down a little yesterday.
Yeah, but you have days like that. It happens. And sure. The Giants are pretty good. It's not like...
you think?
It's not like they're walking away saying, wow, we really let one get away there. I think they're happy to take 2 out of 3 in the series, and just like he says in the interview. So let's go ahead and take a listen to what he had to say.
All right, I guess on the podcast this week is Randy Messenger. Don't shoot the messenger!
Oh, I've never heard that one before.
In this case, shoot the messenger.
That's right.
Okay, you're done. You're out of here, Gibson. Take a hike.
I don't get to ask any more questions. Doggone it. All right, I'm sure you never heard that one before, but what about this question? In the preseason, I predicted you guys would probably finish last, and I was worried about the fact that QG Fujikawa was gone and then the catcher position. How's this all turned out for you guys?
Well, as of right now, you know, we're playing really well. Obviously, since the All-Star break, we haven't been playing really well.
There's ups and downs.
Yeah, exactly. There's ups and downs. But right now, it seems like we're just not getting our hits when we need them. You know, early in the season, we were getting them when we needed to. And right now, we're not, coming through when we need to.
Yeah, but overall, you guys are in second place. You're chasing after the Giants, starting a 3-game series today. What's been the difference this year over last year?
Guys stepping up that we weren't expecting to. That's how I feel. You know, the rookie Fujinami coming in, pitching really well. Inokita coming into the rotation, he's pitched pretty well. Guys stepping up in the lineup, Yamato being the everyday center fielder this year, he's doing really well. Fuji, obviously, he's carrying the load as our starting catcher every day. So.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have made a big difference, but what was the feeling when, like, Fujikawa went stateside? What did you think the impact was going to be?
Well, we definitely need to find a closer, for sure, you know, and we weren't all sure what was going to happen, you know, and then they decided to use Kubo, which in our eyes, in all the pitchers' eyes, we didn't think was that great, but, you know, ended up turning all right for the beginning, and then he went to struggling, and, you know, they sent him out of here, so.
Who's closing now?
Fukuhara.
Okay.
Shinobu. Yeah. So he's been closing. He's been doing a good job. He hasn't had many opportunities, but when he's had the opportunities, he's done a good job.
So. Pitched since the All-Star break?
He's pitched just coming in to get work, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. He hasn't pitched in my 2 games, that's for sure.
Well, yours was outstanding. The last game, you had to go out because you gave up a hit late, but it was 8 3rds.
Well, I threw way too many pitches, too. So.
Okay. Now, you pitched well personally since you've been here, really. But, in recent games this season, you've been getting more run support. Now, Jim looked up some
The beginning of the season, you were getting a great run when you had that winning streak.
Yeah.
And I'm going.
First 5 starts, I had a great winning streak going.
You had won 3 or 4 at the end of last season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that winning streak, I'm going, wow, what's he doing? And I'm looking at it. Well, Jesus, scoring 8 runs a game for him, man.
Exactly.
What's going on?
Exactly. Like I said, it's always nice to get run support. At times, it's a pain in the neck, too, because you have to sit down for so long because they're out there scoring runs, you know, and then you have to get ready to get back out there and do your job. But, you know, the beginning of the season is great. Like I said, the team's done a great job for me.
The first 2 years you were here, it was kind of tough.
I was getting 0 run support. And we had a great team, you know. We had a good offensive team, but... You know, things are always subject to change.
Well, maybe the ball had something to do with that.
They changed the ball?
No, like Craig Grizel said, after he hit the home runs, we're not going to talk about the ball.
That's right. Exactly.
Now, sorry, Craig.
I love this rotation. I think it's one of the best in Japan. And I think it's important, though, that you guys try to finish first, because if you have to blow out your rotation in the way that the playoff series format is, then it might be trouble for you. How do you guys see it?
We're just trying to play 1 game at a time, obviously catch the Giants. You know, our goal is to win the pennant. That's what we want to do. Like I said, we've been on a little bit of a skid lately, but we were the first team to beat the Giants this year in the Tokyo Dome, so hopefully that'll carry us over to this series and we'll be able to, you know, at least win 2 out of 3.
Okay, 1 game at a time, blah, blah, blah. Now, how does this rotation...
Wait, you've heard that before, too.
Yeah, you're talking about things that we've heard before. How does this rotation stack up against the Giants in a playoff series?
I feel it does pretty well. I mean, I think we can match them pitch for pitch, absolutely. I mean, I have yet to pitch against the Giants this year. 1 relief appearance. Okay, I got my butt kicked. Anyways, I've been waiting to pitch against them. I did well against them last year, you know, and like I said, the guys who pitched against them this year, I think they've matched up really well. So.
Yeah, so one of the things I've noticed this year is how good the Tigers' defense is.
Yeah.
You got to appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Watching that play last night that Yamato made in center field, just brilliant.
I mean, yeah, it's, you know, you have a guy that's normally a middle infielder out in center field. He's transitioning himself really well. He's a heck of an outfielder now. He plays great out there. He's got a good arm, covers a lot of ground. You know, we got a Rye at first, a lot better coverage than what we've had in the past. Ryota, I mean, he's good, but, you know, we also have late inning guys that can come in and help us out. So, yeah, absolutely, defense has been really good this year.
So how important is it for you guys to try to win the league title?
I feel it's important because that gives you momentum. You know, you get the home field advantage during the playoffs, and that's always a big boost for us, especially at home. You know, it's a bigger ballpark. It's an outdoor ballpark. You got our crowd into it. We have the best, you know, crowd and the, you know, fans in all of Japan. So I think it's definitely an advantage if we take over first place.
It's a realistic goal, though.
Yeah, I feel it is. I mean, like I said, we played really well going up into the All-Star break. Well, we came in within 2.5 with the All-Star break. So, I mean, if we play like we can, when Nishioka comes back, obviously that's a help for us. He brings a little more life back into the dugout. So, I mean, as long as we keep playing the way we've been all season, I think we should be able to catch them.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to ask about Nishioka. You want to ask?
Yeah, what kind of impact has Nishioka been? Because he's been a catalyst for all kinds of weird stuff in the past. He's a dynamic figure,
right.
But he's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, he's brought more life. Like I said, he's brought more life to the dugout. You know, in Japan, there's not too much celebration and everything, and he brings a little more flair, and the guys are feeding off it.
Okay.
And, you know, he has a little more swagger than probably all the guys on our team, and they're starting to let it loose a little bit more, you know. He's just a good guy. He's fun. He loves to have fun. You know, he's a good player. He plays hard. But right now, like I said, since he's been out, our team's been on a little bit of a skid, so we hope he comes back soon.
The revelation of this new ball came out. How do you guys feel about it as pitchers?
I mean, when you play in ballparks like these, Jingu, Yokohama, Tokyo Dome, it's a joke. I mean, you just hit a pop fly and it's a home run. It's kind of like 2010. It's not as bad, but I mean, a guy misses a ball and he hits it out of the ballpark. It's not fun as a pitcher, you know. If you make a good pitch and he hits it out, then that's different. But you make a good pitch and, you know, he gets jammed or something, he still hits it out of the ballpark. It's frustrating. You know, but that's one of the things you just got to deal with. It's baseball. You got to adapt to your surroundings. And this is where we're at in Japan. That's what they use is a different ball.
It's got to be a little more fun this year adapting to your surroundings when you're in second place and team's playing well.
Absolutely. I mean, last year if this was going on, you know, we'd all be really miserable. But this year we're playing really well. You know, offense is doing great. Pitching's done a great job, especially our bullpen.
Now, how much did the revelation that the ball was different impact the pitchers in terms of maybe contract stuff? Because some guys have stipulations in their contracts about incentives.
Yeah, I don't know how that works with some of the guys. You know, I heard a lot of the guys are a little upset about not knowing about the baseball because of the incentives, obviously. But, I mean, you still got to pitch. You know, you still got to make your pitches. The only difference is this year, obviously, everybody's ERAs are up higher except for Tanaka. You know, dude's having an unbelievable season. 14-0, he's pitching tonight, you know. So, I mean, everybody besides him really is, you know, made the adjustment. He's his same old self. So.
All right. Last question then. How are you approaching pitching away from Koshien for so long? You guys are going to be away for about a month now?
Yeah, I mean, August, you know, being here for 4 years now, you get used to it. It does kind of suck, but we have the Kyocera Dome, which is still pretty much a home field advantage for us. You know, it's nice because you get to get out of the heat, you get inside the dome, but nothing's like playing at home in Koshien.
A little bit of a home run park.
Man. Yeah, absolutely. In the summertime, especially, it heats up and the ball flies a little bit more. But at least it's not a band box like the rest of these up north. So
what's your approach? It doesn't change?
I mean, if you try to change too much, that's when you're really going to get hurt. You know, you try to do too many different things. You try to change stuff. That's when you're going to make more mistakes, and you're going to end up getting your butt kicked even more.
All right. right, so we can assume that you guys are going to catch the Giants by about the beginning of September and make this race really interesting, right?
Absolutely. That'd be the plan. You know, that's the plan. Like I said, we take it one game at a time. This is a big series for us. This is the, first game out of 10 we got left remaining against them. So if we can pick up 2 out of 3 here, that'd be great. Go to the next series, do the same. Just win every series. That's all you can do.
All right. Good luck. I got one more. We got one more then.
Right after you guys stretched, you guys said this is for the Giants. You had that huddle over there. Yeah. Is that for the Giants?
Well, it's just, he's trying to give us a little pep talk,
Okay.
Give us
coach?
Yeah, our strength coach.
Okay.
Yeah, he's trying to get us a little fired up, Big series. We haven't played too well the last 2 series.
I was always wondering about strength coach.
Exactly. That's what we were like, huh? But, he's trying to get us fired up, trying to loosen us up, trying to get us fired up, let us know, this is the Giants' big series. We need to come out and play well.
He wants you to be mentally strong as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, buddy. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks.
Okay. Again, Randy, thanks so much, man. Sorry about the bad joke to start things off.
Yeah, you should be. You shouldn't be, because I'm glad it's you instead of me this time.
Well, I was going to finish it off, let's not shoot the messenger, let's beat him this time, it just didn't come out that way. I couldn't finish it off. He interrupted me. With good reason.
Yeah, with good reason indeed. Anyway, it was a lot of fun, and I want to thank you again, Randy. I kid about you, about you being a man of few words, but basically it is true. He basically says when he's got something to say, he doesn't waste a lot of time talking. He's a man of action. So,
which is why I got on him, with that, we're taking it one game at a time comment. I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 yeah.
Anybody who gives you that, it's not that it's not true.
It is true, and that's the way they have to play it.
Right. It's just that, I heard it once before, at least. So, anyway.
So what stood out for you?
Okay, a couple of things. One, you were talking about the rotation, and I was thinking, I don't see the Tigers a lot, and we have listeners who are Tigers fans and listeners who are not, and I'm thinking you keep talking about the Tigers rotation. So I'm thinking, who are they? Well, he didn't.
Who are these guys?
Yeah, well, he didn't mention Nomi.
Right.
But Nomi pitched on Saturday.
Right, game 2 of the series.
Right. Jason Standridge pitched on Friday night and he was outstanding.
3-hitter.
That's right. And Randy Messenger pitched the day before, and he was outstanding. And today
earlier in the week last week. Yeah, that's all right. Tuesday, I think it was.
Tuesday, correct.
Yeah.
And Shintaro Fujinami, the 19-year-old rookie, the beanpole, pitched today, and he was quite good. And so who are the other – I guess Inokita. Basically, they've got 5 guys, Inokita, Nomi, Randy, Jason, and Fujinami. And then they squeeze in – they use spot starters in between to fill it out. So it's a pretty – it's pretty solid and pretty organized, which is kind of unusual for the Tigers.
Yeah, I think it's their strength, though. I think obviously that's their strength, and I think they've set up the team around them, because I don't think their bullpen is – going to excel. I think it's adequate. I don't think it's great. And I don't think the closer role, obviously they lost Fujikawa from last season, and they, as Randy spoke about in the interview, they had Kubo at the beginning of the season, and that really didn't work out for them. And they've had a number of guys step up and save some games for them, but I don't think it's a strong suit, let's say.
Yeah. Well, so the starting's good. The starting pitching is great. And the other thing that you often, and I guess people don't think about it too much, but one of the things you often see with a team that pitches really well is that they catch the ball really well.
And often see it.
You don't notice it usually.
I would say you can't be a good pitcher without a good defense, but Ryan Ogawa has proved that that's not true. So.
Well, the other thing that Ryan Ogawa has proved is that if you get 5 runs a game and you give up 3, you're going to win a bunch of games.
Yeah, okay.
They catch the ball really well. And if you're a pitcher, right now the Tigers outfield, it used to be Matt Merton. They used to play Matt Merton a lot in center field,
yes.
He doesn't really have a center fielder's arm.
Or legs, but he does a good job.
He's adequate. He's competent. And he played a lot in right field where he definitely doesn't have a right fielder's arm. But the Tigers, and they had Kanemoto's hanging on in left field. So this Tigers outfield is fast with the exception of Matt in left field, and he's competent. So he's where you want your competent outfielder to be playing, left field.
Right.
So that's a big thing, is how good the outfield defense is. The infield defense, I think, whoever they've got playing at second base is an improvement over Hirai, who they had last year. Yeah. I like Hirai, but he was spotty. He was a short guy and didn't run particularly fast. But
he was average. Yeah, he wasn't great. But they've improved in some spots. They've improved in the outfield, like you said. Yamato Maeda has done really well for them. I'm surprised. I actually didn't anticipate him making that transition. Obviously, with Kosuke Fukudome being out, it changed the dynamics of their outfield, because I don't think he was a great outfielder per se. But
I shouldn't say this, but I think they're better off without Fukudome.
Yeah, I mean they're better off defensively for sure. I don't know that he was that productive at the plate either. So.
If he's healthy, if he's healthy,
he's not going to hurt. He's not going to kill him.
No, because he's a very sound fielder.
Right.
So anyway, yeah. So the defense is good. The pitching is suddenly better. The bats are a lot healthier this year than last year.
Yeah,
and that's a big thing for them. But I think that, and I think the other thing that I like to hear. Because I look at Randy Messenger and I asked him, he seems to be essentially the same pitcher since day one. He's gotten routinely good starts.
Mm-hmm.
He'll throw two quality starts and then have one bummer, and then he'll throw three quality starts and have one bummer, and it'll be another two and then one mediocre one, and he's just very consistent.
Very consistent. That's
and
what
the problem. Most of the time he's pitched with the Tigers, and they score one or no runs when he pitches.
Mm.
And at the end of last year, they were scoring a lot. They began scoring a bunch of runs for him. That continued this year. And all of a sudden, the funny thing was, he had a very long winning streak. And stretching back to last season, I think it was 8 or 9 games.
Right.
But his ERA was horrible at the beginning of the season. They were just scoring 8 runs a game.
Yeah.
So, I talked to him today, and he was saying, "Yeah, at the halfway, just as after a few months, he just decided to start over, pretend it's like the beginning of the season." But the point I want to get to, and there is a point to this, is that his goal is just to keep working on the things that he knows works. It's so easy in Japan to be messed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the ball, or it's the park, or it's the mound, or it's the, you have to make adjustments to all these little things going around you. And it's so easy for players especially who haven't grown up here, to sort of think, I'll make this trivial little adjustment. And they end up going on a path that's leading them away from what they do, what they need to do,
yeah,
their core skills.
Yeah.
And they try to make adjustments that are just dead ends.
Yeah.
And they don't remember they forget what it was that was working. And so he's been very good about, obviously he's been extremely consistent. So, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. For me, I was kind of shocked that he just came out and said that the start, and it wasn't just him, which was, I'm certain that the other starters, particularly Jason Sanders, are probably in on it. But when he said that the guys were worried that Yasutomo Kubo was in the closer role, and I mean, he didn't say it, but I guess they issued him a vote of no confidence, and then he didn't do well, and obviously the Tigers sent him down, and now Shinobu Fukuhara is the closer, and he's not a lights out guy kind of guy, but he knows how to pitch. And we talked about being a professional hitter, and he's a right-handed veteran pitcher. He just knows how to pitch, and I don't want to say he's a professional pitcher because that just doesn't sound right. But you never know what this guy is the problem, and I don't think that's a strong suit of their team. So I think that going down the road, and we'll have to see how it pans out for them in the playoffs. I think that's a key, but if they can get a lead to him, I think they feel pretty confident that they can put a good defense out there and they can make the plays that they have to make. Obviously, we know where they're going to probably end up playing at Tokyo Dome, and this is if they finish second. The problem for me is that, and you know, with the playoff format, if the Tigers finish second, they would have to play the first stage of the Climax series, and they would play a best of three at home.
Right.
And if they have to go three games, they're going to blow out their top three starters, and they'll come to Tokyo having to pitch who knows. It could be Fujinami, the rookie, who really threw well today. I was watching on TV and said how I could see the ball on TV just exploding out of his hand, and just he wasn't throwing all that hard. He just had such good movement, and he's so long and lanky. He was on top of the batters, and but I don't know what he'll do that late in the season, in his first season, a guy with that string pole body straight out of high school, so you never know there. Minoru Iwata, I like him, the left-hander. I like him a lot, actually. And if you remember Jeff Williams, who used to be the closer a long time ago, part of the JFK closer or shutdown bullpen, he said he really liked the guy because he battles. And he doesn't have the greatest stuff, but he pitches, you know, he knows how to pitch. He's left-handed. So I like that situation, but I would rather him be pitching in a game four situation where the series is still close rather than a leverage situation where it could be the whole thing is over.
Hey, that's the way it works. Last year the Dragons had the ultimate rotation blowout when basically none of their regular starters were available to pitch against the Giants. And so they went deep into the barrel to find guys who the Giants hadn't faced in over a year.
Yep.
And the Giants went like, hey, we've never seen these guys. How, we can't win.
Yeah, I just don't know that the Tigers are capable of doing that.
No, I don't think the brain power is there, to be honest.
Yeah, so that was the thing. And then, you know, we talked on Friday with Randy. We talked to Matt Merton, and I talked to some other people. And, you know, the overriding sense coming into that series was that they really had to win two out of three to stay in the pennant race, basically. And the Tigers hadn't been playing well, and that was the first thing Matt said, you know, I talked to him before you talked to him, I think, and he was saying, yeah, we haven't been doing very well recently, and we're kind of down since the All-Star break. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, teams have these ups and downs, right? You always tell me that. And the other thing I know is that with the injuries they've had recently, they're playing guys like, Ryota Imanari and Katsuhiko Saka, and, you know, Asai's getting a lot of swings, and
Saka's a heck of a fielder. today.
Yeah, but I mean, these are just different guys. It's not people we're used to seeing out there, and these guys probably can play and need to show it.
They had Lin Wei Ju starting today, I felt like I was in a. They brought a time capsule out.
Yeah, he had a really, really bad first at bat, but I thought he was stuck in that time capsule in that first at bat.
Yeah, it looked like he was playing for Taiwan and struggling under the pressure again.
But these weren't the Tigers who, you know, obviously had gotten to second place playing well this season. This was a different group, and that's what I wanted to point out to those guys when they told me that. Hey, I know you guys aren't winning like you were winning earlier, but this is a different team, so of course there's going to be different. But players don't really want to make excuses. They don't want to say, "Hey, we don't have our regular guys here. We don't want to say."
Well, it's counterproductive to make excuses.
It is.
You gotta go with what you got. And the other thing is the Giants. You know, they've been playing fairly well the last week or so. So, you know, they're going to have their down stretches too. They're not made of steel.
Nope, they're not. So the game at this point, after Sunday's win, it's 6.5 games. The Tigers are out of first place. I hope they can make it a little bit closer and put some pressure on them. They still have quite a number of games left with the Giants. So hopefully they can push them and we'll see how it goes.
All right. Well, thanks again, Randy.
Thank you very much, Randy. We appreciate it, and we'll see you again. Next time we'll probably be talking to Jason.
I wanted to talk to Jason today, but he went back home today. It was his off day.
Off day, yeah.
And He was going to tell me something about the Spider-Man masks. Do you know this story? I remember this something vaguely. He did this a couple of years ago or last year wearing Spider-Man masks or something when he was practicing or something.
Well, we'll have to ask him when we get the interview.
I think his son's missing one.
Oh, no. All right, well, there's one guy who hasn't been missing anything, and that's Masahiro Tanaka of the Rakuten Eagles. He's been hitting all his spots pretty much at will this season.
Missing a few bats.
He's missing a few bats. Maybe the guys who are hitting are missing the bats. Where's my bat that works? That one's broken.
You know, there was, as the listeners may or may not know, he tied the record for most wins to start a season. He's the third pitcher in Japan to start a year 15-0.
Mm-hmm. Tying Shinekuni.
Shigekuni Mashiba.
Yeah, who did it in 1981.
Nippon Ham Fighters. And 2000, I'm going to say 2006.
2005.
2005, Kazumi Saito, who ironically, this past week, it was a few days before.
Right.
It was earlier in the week that.
It was Monday.
That's right. It was Monday that he said he's been threatening to come back about the last 3 years. And, he's been a coach. He's been actually the rehabilitation coach, interestingly enough.
Yeah, when you said ironically, I thought you were going to say that. He's been helping guys get well and get back to the first team while he himself hasn't been able to get well and get back on either team.
Well, I guess that's if you can't do it, teach.
Yeah.
So anyway, he finally gave up his ambition of returning to it. He's been one of those unusual pitchers who's been, he's either been hurt or superb. Mm. And there's sort of no two ways about it. If he can stand on the mound, he can get people out.
Yeah.
But the problem was his shoulder. I don't know whether his shoulder, I think I believe it was his shoulder was always fragile.
Yeah.
From high school. Mm. Okay. Well, anyway, so he tied that record.
He retired from the SoftBank Hawks on Monday. And then, Makun comes out on Friday and ties the record.
Ties the record, and now he's one win away from setting the record and tying another, which is 20 consecutive winning decisions.
Yeah.
Which was set in 1951 and 52 by a fellow named Matsuda and is pitching for the Yomiuri Giants, and his first name escapes me at the moment. My apologies. And Kazuhisa now, whose name will never escape me, in 1956.
Yeah, it's quite a record. I was watching the game. Makun gave up a run in the second inning.
Yep.
And then after that, and remember he pitched in high school. He pitched at the high school I always make a joke of because I could never say it. Tomokomai or whatever it is up in Hokkaido.
Tomokomai Komazawa High School. Hold on.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
It's Tomokomai.
Yeah, I'm not really worried about it. But anyway, he pitches, he gives up the run early, and then after that, he looked so comfortable on the mound, even though they were down a run and it looked like the Eagles, because Brian Rolfe was really bringing it that night. He was hitting his spots. He seemed like he had a little bit extra giddy up on his pitches, and he was dealing. I made a point to tweet that out to the tweets. I said, hey, man, Rolfe is really dealing tonight. This is going to be a tough night, but the Eagles, you know, what a confidence boost. And I'm watching Makun and I'm like, you know, this is what an MVP does. You know, he doesn't blink, in times of, peril or in times of, when the chips are down, he doesn't blink or flinch or back up. He stayed out there. He didn't really have great stuff early on. He gave up a bunch of hits. What did he give up? 11 or 8 hits, I think, or 11 hits that night.
Sounds right.
And, I didn't think he was, you know, hitting his spots and hitting the target, but he battled, and then the Eagles got the two runs they needed to get him the lead. And then that was it. Did you see the way you watched some of the game on TV?
I did.
You see the way he was receiving the ball? He would come off the mound a little bit and he was just flipping his glove up and catching the ball and then getting back on the mound. He just looked so like he was playing catch.
Indeed.
with in the backyard with somebody. It didn't
seem
like...
Well, he looks... He gets on the... And then when he's on the bench, you know, the only time he ever shows any emotion on the bench is when they score. he just sits there on the bench like, you know, like he's going through the hitters and, you know, he's going to face in the next inning. And so, like, almost you can see him thinking, slider, fastball, forkball, fastball, done. Second...
yeah, next.
next, who's next? So... He's pretty, he's about as dominant as you can get right now. That was his fourth straight complete game victory.
Yeah. He gave up eight hits. It was eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a funny thing, I saw a funny story today published in Tokyo Sports, which almost categorically makes it funny or unbelievable.
I saw something in Nippon Sports. I bet it's the same thing.
The one about Mikitani, the owner
of
the Eagles.
Yeah, Mikitani saying he doesn't want him to go.
yeah, saying, well, we gotta keep him from going to the majors. And the funny thing is Mikitani, the owner of Rakuten, the Rakuten internet trading empire, basically is a soccer fan, and his number one love is his soccer team, Vissel Kobe.
Mm.
Well, Vissel Kobe has been relegated to the J-League second division this year, and the Eagles leading the league, he's suddenly become a baseball fan.
Hey, what's this thing called again? A diamond? I like diamonds.
I sell them on Rakuten. Okay. this guy, who is this guy? Makun Tanaka?
Makun. Well, you know what?
He's pretty good. We can't let him go to the majors.
Yeah, we need to keep this. This is.
I think the problem is that it's written into the contract.
yeah. Well, you know what? As I was watching him, and I've been watching him, I remember Jose Fernandez when he was playing with the Eagles before,
right.
and I remember going up to Jose and asking him, "Hey, how come they never take Makun out late in games when it looks like he's tired?" And his response to me was, "Oh, that kid, he's untouchable. They don't do anything. You know, they're grooming him to be an ace." And they don't go out there and do anything to him. They might go out and mention a couple words to him on the mound, but they're not taking him out.
Mm.
And I think that was part of Katsuya Nomura's plan, his former skipper. And now I really got to give him credit because they allowed him to pitch out of trouble, work deep into games, and figure out how to prey on these over-anxious batters sometimes, even if he didn't have his best stuff.
Right.
And I think that has led to what he is today. And
well, I asked Andrew Jones about it a few weeks, just before the All-Star break, and he said something to the effect that he seems to have an ability to know, to anticipate the pitch the batter's looking for,
mm.
and then throw it out of the zone,
mm.
so that they swing at it.
Yeah, they go after it because he said
the only other pitcher the pitcher that in the majors who seemed like he could do that was Greg Maddux.
Yeah, who he saw a lot of.
Yeah. I said, well, this, you know, you don't have to face either of them. This isn't, you say, I'm glad I don't have to face them.
Yeah. So I think next up for if Makun pitches on Thursday, which I don't think, I think he's going to stay on the same schedule.
Yeah, I think he's going to be Fridays, yeah.
And it's going to be
Friday
at home against Oryx.
Okay.
I believe is the schedule. And okay.
Okay, so Friday is going to be what, the 4th, 5th, 9th? Okay, so August 16th is, I believe, the day he last lost. August 16th, 2012 at Cebu Dome.
Right.
It's also the last time he failed to, he allowed more than three runs or pitched fewer than six. He's got, I think, a stretch of 40 consecutive quality starts. No, it's not 40, it's a 30-something.
Is that all?
yeah, it's sort of like, it's getting into like Carl Sagan numbers right now.
yeah, I'm just checking the schedule now, and if it's Friday that he throws, he's going to pitch against SoftBank at home.
Okay.
If he throws before that, if he throws on Thursday, it would be Oryx. But, I think they're going to stay on schedule. I think it's going to be Friday, so.
Yeah, so he's closing in on 1 year without a loss.
yeah, that's incredible. So he's creating a lot of must-see TV. I heard, you know, obviously Randy Messenger knew about it. He knew he was throwing and,
right.
A lot of people probably want to see the game. So I think we're going to have some more must-see TV on Friday, so.
I think so. Yeah. I was at the office and we didn't have the Rock 10 game on, so I purchased Pacific League TV basically so I could watch Rock 10, you know, to have a story.
Right.
Because he's the story.
He is it. Good luck to him. We'll be watching for sure. All right. Quickly, I want to touch on the Major League guys real fast here. Ichiro Suzuki is approaching 4,000 career hits.
Is that all?
Yeah, pretty amazing. Although I think he's really slowed down, but that's what happens when you get close to 40 and you're playing baseball.
Right.
We'll be watching for that. And, Yu Darvish had a game, recently in which he struck out 14 and, he became the first pitcher with 4 14 strikeout games in one season since Randy Johnson did it in 2004.
Oh, Randy Johnson, flash in the pan, baby.
Now, I saw a tweet by Keith Law, who's a fantastic researcher and worker for ESPN, and he said the complete list of every pitcher with more than two career 14-plus strikeout games with no walks, Roger Clemens, Pedro Martinez, the big unit Randy Johnson, and Yu Darvish.
That was the opening game, was it not? When he had 14 strikeouts and no walks, his first game of the season.
I don't remember. I thought it was the perfect game against Houston, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that was his season debut.
Was it? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Now,
one more little piece of trivia for you.
Okay. Ooh.
I'm going to get you this time.
I know you are. Are you ready for it? Gibson's been gunning for me all week, last week. So. Go ahead.
In 2002, three pitchers in the United States had they had double digits in victories.
2002?
Who are they?
You got to go back 11 years to stump me?
No, I can go back further.
You go back to like Tuesday and stump me if you really wanted to, but 2002, I have to think about who was even pitching in 2002. Nomo was still pitching in 2002, Yoshi. 2002, I'm going to say Kazuhisa Ishii.
That's one.
Holy smokes.
You said Nomo, that's one.
Oh, wasn't Kazuhisa Ishii?
Yeah, you got two. Those two, Nomo and Ishii, and then one more.
Oh, one more? That's mean. 2002. Darn it. Because the guy I'm leaning toward would be Masato Yoshi.
Yeah, no. Tomo Oka.
Yeah.
Montreal.
That's my personal favoritism towards my personal bias towards Tomokazu Oka showing.
And then this year, three guys.
Is that the year he had gotten a fist fight with Frank Robinson?
I don't know if it's a fist fight, but I don't know. I don't.
Or was that the year he got in a fist fight with his Korean teammate in Pawtucket?
I don't know. Come on, man. Okay. This year, Hisashi Iwakuma, Hiroki Kuroda, and Yu Darvish all have more than.
I knew this was coming to a point, or I guessed it, but I was right. You had a point. Excellent, man. Right. Good job.
All right, let's go to fielding questions. Okay, we have two questions this week. The first one is from our buddy Dave in Baltimore. The first one is, he said in a recent podcast, you mentioned that Craig Bozell almost became the second guy to hit a home run completely out of Chiba Marine Stadium, which is called QVC Marine Field now. And he said, who was the first to do it? And you have this answer. Because you were there? You said you were there, or did you watch?
I was there, so yeah. I had to look it up. I remembered seeing it in the paper. It was Lee Sung Yup. And it was, I believe, his Chiba Marine Stadium debut for the Chiba Lotte Marines in 2004. And I'm going to say it was April. It was in April. It was in April of 2004. And he hit one out of the park. And he almost hit another one. I think he might have hit another one foul.
Wow. Yeah, that was back when we barely went to the office during baseball season, as I recall. I think we spent a couple days in there a week.
Yeah, we used to trade off. I was going to the weekend games, and John was going to the weeknight games.
Yeah.
Those were the happy days.
Happy days. All right, the second question is, he says he got a comment on his blog about a post he did where he mentioned that there were only 5 home runs hit in the home run derby in Sapporo during the All-Star break recently here in Japan. And he said the commenter basically asked if the talent level had dropped so low in MPB because of all the stars playing in the U.S. He compared the MPB to the post-integration Negro Leagues, which I don't really think is an apt comparison. And he said he replied to the comment, but he was curious what you and I thought. Your thoughts.
Well, so I'm not certain that five home runs has much to do with anything except that they played at Sapporo Dome, mm-hmm. which is very hard, and that the ball is not is a fairly tough ball. I think it's still harder to hit a home run with than the major league ball. And you know, they have a different format for the home run hitting contest here. I think they only had six or seven swings per batter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it was, that was essentially the cause. These guys could all put it out of the park on a regular basis, but it just wasn't conducive. Okay, what did you think about the Negro League's comment? That is very interesting, I thought.
Well, I mean, obviously I did very little study of the Negro Leagues even when I was in the United States because I was such a fan of the big leagues and I heard so much about it. But it wasn't something that was prominent on the West Coast, so I didn't really ever really get into it.
Okay.
I just didn't think it made sense because it's so hard to compare those things.
It is hard to compare. I think it's a tremendously interesting question. Now, when the posting system was becoming very prevalent and a lot of Japan's best stars were beginning to trickle to the majors a decade ago,
mm-hmm.
Bobby Valentine suggested that unless Japanese baseball found a way to keep its best players, it would become like the Negro Leagues. So this comment kind of resonates there.
Mm.
Now the question is, now how are they similar and how are they dissimilar? Well, they're completely dissimilar for a variety of reasons, but essentially same phenomenon where you're losing the top talent, of all but the oldest players and most senior players who are too old to be of real interest
right.
to the major leagues.
To the major leagues, right.
You're basically losing guys who are established players and some young stars who are considered prospects.
That would be, mm-hmm.
Right. That would, like, I guess the prime example there being Willie Mays, a guy who'd played essentially a year and a half in the Negro Leagues. And so that was the market there. Now, the difference being that I think there's a couple of key differences. Here in Japan, the market in America, the market for the audiences dried up for the Negro Leagues. Well, they're also shrinking ever so slightly in Japan, but they dried up for the Negro League teams in the big cities because they could go watch black players playing in the major leagues.
Major leagues, right. Right.
Unless you were in Boston. Of course, they didn't have a Negro League team in Boston, probably for good reason.
Right, and this market's not going to really dry up because players are going to the United States. Yeah,
exactly. So there's that. There's also because the major leagues have yet to establish a credible way of accessing Japanese amateur talent and bringing it and developing it in the majors,
mm-hmm.
then there's still going to be the bulk of Japanese amateur talent is going to go through NPB.
Yeah. For the question, I mean, first of all, I thought many of those who comment on NPB, they really haven't spent enough time here in Japan they haven't done any comprehensive research and they're not really informed when they have an opinion. They're just making guesses.
Well, that's been that way for a long time. When
right.
Paul Horner came over here, somebody said, you think he's going to hit a lot of home runs? And he said, well, all Japanese parks have inner fences, like the old Lucky Zones at Koshien. And that was basically not true. Just somebody told him that. So they were pronouncing it on the radio as being the truth.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's changing with the internet, fortunately.
Yeah.
And thanks to John Gibson and his like.
But anyway, I contend here that there are many players who when they learn to swing early on, they swing down on the ball in Little League.
They
teach them to swing down on the ball. So a lot of guys here are line drive hitters, and when they hit home runs, it's because they just hit the ball the right way and they get a hold of one. I remember Hitoshi Tamura is a great example because when I interviewed him. This is a guy who's hit as many as 40 home runs in his career one season, but he always said that, hey, look, I'm a line drive hitter, and the only reason I get some home runs is because I get a hold of one once in a while, and it just it goes out on a line. So guys who are in the All-Star home run derby like Shohei Nakata, he hit a lot. If you watched it, he hit a bunch of line drives, which is what he does. Yeah, which is what he does. He doesn't. They don't learn how to hit the ball and put on a show in batting practice, because that's not what they're supposed to be doing in the game. And it's just about the approach. I think that was about it. I think a lot of guys have power here, and if they were taught to hit the ball in batting practice to try to get it over the fence every time, that they could do it. It's just that's not the way they swing, and that's why a lot of, I think, major leaguers say, hey, the home run derby messes up my swing, is because they actually swing differently from their normal swing so they can get the ball out every time, because a long line drive is an out. Whereas when you're playing a game, a long line drive could mean, you know, something off the wall and some runs perhaps.
Yep. So, well, I agree with that. So, yeah, interesting. And I think it was just the circumstances. Sometimes you have home run derbies where they hit a bunch of home runs, but basically no. And they can get rid of the home run derby for all I care. The way they do it in Japan is so boring.
Yeah. Shoot it now. All right. Thank you very much, Dave. We have one more question from Claudio in Toronto, our buddy in Toronto. What's happening, Claudio? How are you doing, man?
Yeah, we miss you. Come back to Japan.
Yeah, he just left the other day. Come on, give me a break. This costs money.
2 weeks.
All right. So he asks, because the Yokohama Bay Stars had a really good run recently, he says, who should be credited for the current winning streak? And it was current when he sent the question. It is very much over now. And the overall decent season that the Bay Stars are having, Tony Blanco, Kiyoshi Nakahata, the front office, or is it just good teamwork, or is it just plain luck?
I think it was B Starman.
Well, I'll start.
I'll
start off with that. The Bay Stars had an 8-2 stretch, starting from just before the All-Star break, to last week. And we won't look at all of August, but I have one word for the reason why they're having some success and why they had a really good stretch, and that was pitching. And it had nothing to do with luck, maybe a couple balls not falling foul or not falling fair against them. But they get allowed in this 10-game stretch 3 runs, 1 run, 4-0, 2 runs in a loss, and that was extra innings in Nagoya, 1-1-0-1, and then they got blown out. So during that 10-game stretch, they got 7 quality starts. Now, that just shows you, if they get 7 quality starts, what they can do in a 10-game stretch, because this team is scoring the most runs in Japan. Oh, that's not true.
And not only was that, but a lot of the balls in a couple of those really close, high-scoring games,
mm-hmm.
the Bay Stars were... in the games I watched, they had a lot of hits that, you know, just found holes. It was pretty amazing. And I think essentially things have returned to normal. I think, the pitchers are now have realized the team ain't going to score 7 or 8 runs a game.
Well, not when they get occasionally no hit, no.
Oh, that's mean. Well, they scored a bunch of runs today, but they lost the day before yesterday,
the day before on Saturday, they scored 7 runs and lost. I mean, you know, they've got to get good pitching.
They went through one turn in the rotation or 2 turns in the rotation where they were getting quality starts, and that stopped. One of the things that sparked that was, and it has, you know, it's just was one of these weird things that happens, is Shugo Fujii's weird success against the Hanshin Tigers.
What is that, man?
I don't know. He wasn't good against them before the second half of last season, but I mean, probably the last time he beat them 3 times in a season was, you know, when people still carded me for my ID.
Yeah, well, he looks like Sai Sawamura against him. I mean, he's killing them.
So anyway, so that started. He had 2 wins in that stretch against the Tigers, and everybody sort of picked up with it and ran. And I think the Tigers were looking a little bit past the Bay Stars, and all of a sudden it was 1-2-3. There you go, swept in Koshien. Like, I don't think the Tigers real thought that was a real possibility.
Yeah, but part of the other part of the question that Claudio is asking is why they're having a decent season, and I think obviously you look at Niger Morgan plus Gumbo and what he's done in terms of bringing them some energy in games that they're losing. He gives them energy, and they really think they can come back. And I think, you know, the pitching has been different this year. It's been a little bit better. It's been a little bit more consistent in spots. And again, I keep saying they've got three guys who we know they're going to get a turn in the rotation. That's Miura, that's Fuji, and that's Mishima, who got his brains beat out tonight. But after that, we're not sure who's going to be sticking around to pitch those. And we heard it in a interview that Alex Ramirez mentioned earlier. Earlier this season, he said, we don't know if the other guys are even going to be on the squad.
Right.
You know, much less pitching.
Well, Tim Corcoran, I finally got to watch yesterday, or 2 days ago. Was it yesterday?
It was Saturday.
It was Saturday. Yesterday. I liked a bit of what I saw from him. Mishima, I do like. He needs to be a little more consistent, but he's got good pitches. He seems to know what he's doing. He has, I don't know what his issues are.
Home runs. But,
okay.
Gives up a lot, yeah.
Okay, gives up a lot of home runs, but, Fuji knows what to do. He really doesn't have any stuff to speak of. He's got a little slider and a little fastball and a little changeup.
And he balances
those properly. He's really hard to hit. And as long as his fastball isn't too flat, he gets by. So, they were all on their top of their games. Oddly enough, in that stretch, except Miura, they were all on the top of their game. They won even regardless of that. So, yeah, it was a fluky kind of thing. But this year, I think Tony Blanco and Niger Morgan are the two biggest reasons why they're good. Ishikawa had a horrible season last year. He was sent to the farm team for having a horrible start to this season.
Mm-hmm.
With some very nasty words from Mr. Feelgood Nakahata, basically saying you don't deserve to be the captain because you're not playing playing well enough. But he's come back and played like a house on fire. And Hitoshi Tomura's is remembering that he's actually a top quality baseball player.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to go back to Ishikawa because I think I saw something with him earlier this season when I was at Tokyo Dome, and I just saw the leadership. He gets everybody into the stretches. He gets everybody in the places that they're supposed to be, getting them what they're supposed to be doing in pregame. Mm. He's showing a lot of leadership. So whether he's got a C on his chest or not, I think he is the captain, and he's definitely out there, and he's showing with his play as well that he had a home run last night, Saturday for sure.
Yep.
Not sure if he run shot. Yeah, and he had some hits tonight, and they came up short, but he's hitting the ball and he's playing an important position, so I like what he's doing. So I think you can credit Claudio everybody. Everybody's pulling in the same direction, and that's a start, and that's why they're probably going to get out of last place. But I'm still hoping that they can avoid long skids like they're doing now. I think it's up to five, and get back into this. Again, a couple wins and you're in third place. A few losses and you're in last. Well, not last.
Nah.
Not last. I take it back.
That's a foot race you're going to lose with the Swallows.
Yeah. Babe. You mean you're going to win? You're going to win it all. Well, I guess I see your perspective is from the Swallows' perspective, but.
I apologize for that.
That's all right. But, hey, great. We don't have to hear any crazy jokes at the end of this program, and we thank you for listening all the way to the end. Dave and Claudio, a shout-out to both of you, and also to Patrick, who listens to us from South Korea. Thank you very much. And, Patrick, we're looking forward to your MP3 question. And anyone else who wants to send us a question, please send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com, and we'll get to it on the show.
Well, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening, and we will be talking at you next week.
All right. Hit us up on the Facebook page as well. Take care and enjoy your baseball.